Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Looking for the bounce after the worst day for the Dow and the S&P in more than 2 years. A lot of coronavirus warnings, this time from MasterCard, United, Philips, but Home Depot is a bright spot. Europe started green, currently red. 10-year 1.37, Case-Shiller home prices up 3.8 year-on-year. Our roadmap begins with a turnaround Tuesday. Maybe stocks set to bounce at the open as markets attempt to recover from the worst drop since 2018.
Plus, shares of Moderna are surging. The drug maker shipping the first batch of its coronavirus vaccine to U.S. government researchers as the World Health Organization warns the outbreak has the potential to become a pandemic.
And the big tech tumble, the top performing sector just last week, losing more than $200 billion in market value yesterday and set to fall again at the open today. So as stocks come off, as we said, the worst day in a couple of years, the coronavirus numbers continue to climb, both in and outside China. Total confirmed cases now exceed 80,000, deaths surpassing 2,700. Heading into the session, the Dow and the S&P are in negative territory for the year. We got new cases for the first time in Austria, Croatia, Oman and Bahrain added some. The Iranian deputy health minister has tested positive.
Jeez.
So it's you can't read all the headlines, Jim. They're coming too quickly.
No, and I think Iran and Italy are the two that I think people are focused on. But all these others, they always seem to develop in clusters because it is so easy to get. But remember, it's not easy to die from. You have to have typically diabetes or some function of respiratory weakness, perhaps because of smoking. Perhaps because the air in Wuhan, because the death rate's higher. I'm not being a Pollyanna, but I just think that you got to at least put that in.
Well, but there's so much we don't know about, including the death rate itself.
No, we don't, because the Chinese have not let Dr. Fauci in
to
find out what's going on.
What the death rate really is. Those who are in the hospital, the death rate's fairly high. Very high.
Right.
Scarily among the elderly high. Especially.
Yes, the elderly is high. So you could say that it's 2%, but if you're part of the 2%, well, you're 100%.
It's dangerous. I guess I know you've been talking to as many people as you can.
So I
tend to talk to people who are talking to experts and occasionally actually do stumble on one as well. And there does seem to be this sense that it's just a matter of time.
It got away.
Till it gets everywhere. Right. And it's not about containment as much as about mitigation.
But it's important to remember that Dr. Fauci, and I keep referring to him because he's the guy who identified the AIDS virus. He kept saying from the beginning, look, we're not going to be able to contain it. We just want to be able to slow it. And I don't know why everyone is suddenly saying, you know what, how come it can't be contained? When the top guy in our country, the day after the Super Bowl, said, we can't contain it.
Right. Right.
I mean, he was very abject.
Needed to have cut off travel all over the world
over
immediately.
The world. Right.
And, you know, somebody made the point, humanity has to win every single time. The virus only has to win once, right?
Well,
that makes it very difficult.
That's very good.
And the game changer here is you can have travel restrictions, but the asymptomatic nature of the virus means people will get through not presenting symptoms, still sick. That is that's the troubling part here.
I went to Spain for Fashion Week last year. It was inward, and you could just go and tell you that the majority of people were Asians, China. And why were they there? Well, if you ask the major designers, which I did, it was to copy, because that's perfectly reasonable. But, I mean, it was heavily Chinese. And I think it happened again this year. But why else? You have the worst outbreak.
That's why it's getting to Italy.
Right. I mean, it was just a tremendous number. And we were like, you know, I remember going to Brunello Cucinelli, and I was one of the few Americans. It's largely Chinese. And I said to myself, geez, you know, this is, wow. Fashion Week is incredible. It attracts the world. And now let's say you go to Malpensa Airport. You just came back from the fashion show. I get in. I don't have, you know, it's been one day. I get into JFK. I sit down here with you guys. And maybe you fist pump me. Maybe you do anything. But if you shake my hand, well, sorry.
Which
you touch your face.
Which is a good point, and we kind of have kidded about it, but in all seriousness.
No, you can't kid about it.
If we were to stop shaking hands in this country, we would have a much better chance of mitigation without
a
doubt. I mean, it sounds some people say silly. It's not.
No,
it's an actual thing. If we came up with just give people the peace sign.
Dr. Mark Bristow did a huge amount of business. He's the CEO of Barrick. A huge amount of gold business in the middle of the Ebola, in the middle of the Ebola epidemic. And they, no one shook hands, and he didn't get it. Now you can say, well, that's not as easy to get as this. Oh, give me a break. You know, that's deadly. But you have, all have to adopt new ways. You don't touch your face. You don't shake hands. You wash your hands constantly.
All right. Meanwhile, the fear of the virus is going to have potentially what are going to be the economic knock-on effects of it paralyzing various parts of the world or anything else.
Well, do you want to be in a big gathering?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Because it's the fear already that is obviously what the markets are reacting to in terms of what it's going to mean. People not showing up. Gatherings not occurring. Travel
restaurants,
slowing down
travel, airplanes, just our hotels. I mean, all the things. You carry the wipes everywhere, but you recognize that you're really helpless. David asked me before, if you went on an airplane, would you go with the very sophisticated 3M mask? Okay, we've been trying to get one for 4 weeks, all right?
Mm-hmm.
4 weeks. My wife is very diligent. You know, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it. They're not avail. Now, I know 3M's trying.
Well, they're trying. They're making as much as they can, and they've got
a lot of
different customers to satisfy, including enormous demand from Asia, well beyond what they've ever seen.
Right.
So,
and the people who
and
have
their typical customers who they're trying to provide, who've always used them.
Right. Construction workers here can't get their own masks. Now, are we paranoid? No, we're going to go away. Well, actually, we're probably going to cancel the go away if we can't get this darn mask.
A lot of, as Helane Becker, airline analyst, told us yesterday, look for more domestic travel. As international trips get called off, parents say, forget going to Europe for spring break. We're going to get to all the corporate reaction, the MasterCard news and the United news, but the president did address the virus at a press conference in India. Take a listen.
People are getting better. They're all getting better. We brought in some Americans from a ship because it was really the right thing to do, and they're in quarantine. And we think they'll be in very good shape very, very soon. I think that whole situation will start working out. A lot of talent, a lot of brain power is being put behind it. $2.5 billion we're putting in. I see that Chuck Schumer criticized that he thought it should be more. And if I gave more, he'd say it should be less.
That comes on the heels of Larry Kudlow last night telling the Washington Post Americans should consider buying this dip, referring to the market decline.
Well, I mean, I think if you have no stocks, a lot of cash, possible. But if most people already have a lot, if you have no S&P exposure, I don't think it's so bad. But I will tell you this. I think the president's dead right about Moderna. Moderna is real. They were on my show a couple times. On Mad Money, and they know how to develop vaccines better than anyone. They use AWS, they use Amazon Web Services, they use an RA basis to try to figure out the blueprint of the DNA. And what's amazing and what will happen with Moderna is that typically it would take many, many months to get to where they would do the vaccine. They are accelerating this thing, and if they give it to China, then you are going to find out very quickly. What I think China would do is they would immediately give you the vaccine, then they try to infect you. We have much more, we're a little bit more strict.
Sometimes the immune response is what kills you, right? You get the cytokine storm. I mean, have they come up with a vaccine for SARS? No.
No, but they've came up with a vaccine for Ebola.
Yeah.
Regeneron did that.
Yeah, but
I'm just
Ebola
saying
was
that
not
the
a
typical
virus.
Like, let's say
the president said they're close on an Ebola virus today.
Well look, so if you and we don't know what close. Gilead's got to do, whether theirs is good, but let's just point out that this is not the way vaccines are made. They are moving like this. I mean, typically, I'm developing this drug. It's been like 7 months tied up with the IRB. Then you get through the review board. Then you get through the review board, you do a mini trial. And then after you do a mini trial, you do 1.0.
Right. To make sure it doesn't kill people.
We ain't doing that.
Right.
The Chinese ain't, they're not doing that.
No, they may not. You're
and
right.
The president's right.
Here's Fauci in the Journal today.
I love him.
Going into a phase one within 3 months of getting the sequence is unquestionably the world indoor record. Nothing has ever gone that fast.
It's astonishing. I thought that I had the best darn medicine in the world, and it's working. I created it with my doctor, Dr. Newman. We think it works. And you know what? You may see it on the market in a couple of years. Unbelievable. But this thing, I mean, maybe they give it to Chinese prisoners. Why not?
Well, listen.
I mean, I don't mean to imply that
they are. The better, if in fact it is effective and safe, that would be quite a thing.
But this is, Fauci's right. This is unprecedented. I mean, to get this fast to where you're giving a healthy person a disease? Do you know how hard that is in this country? After all the things that we decided not to do after Tuskegee? After Tuskegee, we said we would never do this. After Tuskegee, where we actually gave healthy people syphilis. Black soldiers. And we did it. And that's why we don't do this stuff. But this is an emergency. David, I almost touched you. You will be very glad that the Chinese are going to break the rules and that we're going so fast. And it's really remarkable. And I can't stress how amazing this is, how quickly they're doing it. It's really fabulous.
Let's hope it goes according to plan.
Yeah.
For more on the impact, of course, in China, let's get to our Eunice Yoon, as usual, in Beijing. Hi, Eunice.
Hey, guys. Well, Chinese health officials have said that the epidemic here has peaked. And in fact, we had another province called Anhui, which lowered its emergency response level. At the same time, the country here is still definitely not back to business as usual. For example, state media reported tonight that China is going to roll out an additional $71 billion to support loans for small businesses. The authorities here are also going to cut value-added taxes from 3% to 1% and waive it for businesses in the epicenter of Hubei province. This comes after the authorities said that the rate of resumption of work for SMEs is only 30%. The authorities have also said that a lot of projects in the transportation industry, especially railways, highways, airports, all of them have stalled. And a lot of those rely on migrant workers who are either reluctant to travel or restricted to travel. Now, this also comes as many schools have extended their closures. Guangdong province, a big manufacturing hub, has said that it is going to stay shut, or its campuses are going to stay shut until further notice while students resume their studies online from March 2nd. Hong Kong schools are also going to stay closed until April 20th. And you see this conflict in the priorities of the policymakers here. On the one hand, they want to support growth, get people back into their offices. On the other hand, they're worried about the spread of the virus and a second wave of cases. In fact, in our office, in the elevator of our building, there was a new notice up that said that only 4 people are allowed to be in the elevator at the same time. So in other words, we could work, we just can't really get too close to each other in the elevator. Guys?
Unbelievable, Eunice. We'll be checking in with you, obviously, as late as you can stay up. Our Eunice Yoon, where it's evening right now in Beijing.
Can I just say she's the best?
She's incredible. Yes.
Most people would not want to be there. Most people would not be willing to do what she's doing. I am so proud that I work with her.
We're grateful for you, Eunice, and our viewers are too. It does bring us, Jim, to Needham today on Apple. We assume normal supply demand by June 1. The longer it takes after that, the greater threat to September launches, which is a third of revenue.
Well, we do know from Katie Huberty this morning, who's the biggest Apple bull, Morgan Stanley, that we are up to the 2012 was the last time there was biggest institutional support as it is now. And 2012 was a watershed where you had to sell. If you were even, well, I say don't trade, own, but no one knew where the bottom was. So that was obviously a not great note. I continue to reiterate that if you bail from FANG right here aggressively, I don't know when you're going to get back in. Some of these companies don't have anything to do with China. And Apple, they do have a big launch. And if you listen to Eunice Yoon, she's saying that they're part of China is coming back. It might be the part that they're doing. They have 6-7 factories in Wuhan that supply them. The other ones are not down. It may not be so bad. Obviously, the shopping in China has, even with online, has been deterred.
And that's
important.
Yes, it has.
Did you see, by the way, that Meg Terrell, another person, is doing a great job?
Yes.
She broke a nice story today about we're going to have a trial at the University of Nebraska Medical Center for the Gilead drug. I don't know.
Which is not a cure, but is a... Right, an antiviral that would
be
helpful.
Could
like
stop
Tamiflu
acute.
Is for the flu, not in this case.
All the things, as the president said, these things are all happening at lightning speed. I am so used to the other way, which is that we got to do 4 years of study. It's not happening. It's good.
We'll get Cramer's Matt Dash. We'll count down to the opening bell. Obviously, got to get to Home Depot, Macy's, MasterCard, Expedia, Palo Alto. We got a JPM Investor Day. A lot of news. Take a look at the future. Squawk on the Streets back in a moment.
Well, as Carl said, of course, we've got a lot of corporate news to get to. And let's start off with a mad dash now. Hit Palo Alto. Shares are going to be down sharply.
Yes. Now, Nikesh Arora has done a good job trying to get this company to where it has cloud, where it also, of course, just has on-prem, so to speak. And the issue is there are some product glitches. The conference call was a little, let's say, herky-jerky. I felt from the guidance cut that there really is no reason to buy it right here. There are others that are better in this space, including Proofpoint. The space has become very spotty, CyberArk missed. So what I would tell you is that there isn't any stability to this, given the fact that once you cut guidance in these very high multiple stocks, they don't bottom the first day. Mm-hmm. Even though I think Nikesh has done a very good job, they do not have the right product. I know he may disagree with me, but it's either they don't have the right product or they don't have the right sales force. But it was very disappointing. There's a number of downgrades.
So they're not executing as well
yes,
as they could be, it's more a function of the marketplace itself?
No, I think that Nikesh is harder on himself and his team. I don't think he thinks they're executing well enough. I will say, going forward with Corona, you're going to have a very extended sales cycle for everybody because you're doing things remotely. You're not closing over dinner. You're not getting together. And I think people are underestimating how much it's going to hurt tech.
In general.
In enterprise tech.
You're talking now back to Corona.
Yeah.
Back to the virus.
You're never going to leave Corona until this thing is.
No, I know.
It's also, too easy to catch, David. It's just too darn easy to catch.
Okay. Well, we do have a lot of other corporate news, of course. Home Depot earnings, HP earnings, Macy's earnings. We're going to take a look at all of those stocks when we come back. Of course, we've got an opening bell just 10 minutes away. Stay with us on Squawk on the Street.
Since March of 2009, there have been 18 2% drops on a Monday, says Bespoke. The next day, the average gain is about 1%, and we'll see if futures are going to continue that pattern here with the opening bell in just over 7 minutes. Don't go away. As a reminder, you can always watch us live on the go on the CNBC app. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in 4.5 minutes. Obviously, the market paying close attention to all the corporate reaction to the coronavirus. We've heard from MasterCard on MAD last night.
Yes.
United, Jabil's just out now saying they're running capacity in the range of 65 to 70. But nobody can really put hard numbers on the quarter at this point.
No. I just think that, I mean, everything I go through, they have to say, well, here's what... Let's just take Macy's and MasterCard. Macy's says, look, we have to talk about it. We are worried about Corona. Ajit Banga retiring after a fabulous run. He took a company from $26 billion to $300 billion-plus. He's retiring. They had to cut numbers. I think he did it at the right time. Let the next fellow come in with another cut. Not that bad, but the stock does slow 2%, 3%. The fact that that stock's not down more is a credit to the fact that the business is so great. Mr. Miebach has been there for a long time. Good. Should be a very smooth transition.
Not till the end of the year, right?
Right. He ain't going anywhere.
And then he's exec chair
yes,
for a while.
Exactly. So, I mean, people who want to sell that stock, oh, go ahead. I think it's dumb.
MasterCard and Visa are just money-making machines.
Look at
10 years on both of them. The only question I have is maybe it's not that hard to run these businesses. I don't know. They just seem to print money.
That's not fair.
Well, Visa's had like three different CEOs and it never lets up.
Well, they've had great managers as Charlie Scharf, Kelly. I mean, but Ajit is unbelievable. And if you look at the long term, look at that chart since he came in. This was a medium-sized company, and now it's one of the top companies in the world.
Can we do a comparison with Visa? I'd like to see which one actually is, which we're going to do that, too.
You have to do that, huh?
Yeah, I want
on this day, on this big day, you got
to
go do that? Oh, there you go.
All right.
Mr. Know-It-All.
Handily.
Yeah, Mr. Know-It-All. Look at that.
By the way, you could have just bought both of those and that's it.
That's true. But no. You insisted on being the S&P index. You insisted. I think Aj is unbelievable, and he will not be missed because he'll be here.
It's going to be something to watch. Meanwhile, as you probably know, big tech stocks lost more than $200 billion in market cap yesterday. All five tech stocks saw their stocks tumble at least 4%. Apple and Microsoft both saw about $60 billion wiped. Amazon, Alphabet both shrunk by about $40 billion. Facebook, the least valuable member of the group, surrendered more than
25. Every Dow stock is down for the past week. And the ones that are down the most in the index, Apple, Intel, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Which have been the leaders.
Right. Intel, I think, is starting a price war, according to the reports, against AMD. It's one of the reasons why AMD has been hit hard. What are you going to do? How can people have to sell Apple? They've got a very big gain. I think it's going to end up being a mistake, but they got to do it now. They feel like they have to. And Microsoft's been a horse. I think Microsoft is the one. If you want to buy a stock, if you want to get started, go ahead. I would do some Microsoft, maybe put a quarter position on. Not if it's up, though. No reason to buy anything if it's up, because that's just a sucker's game. That's taking people out who bought it last night.
Now we got a couple of coronavirus-related downgrades today. B of A cuts Micron to reduce.
Oh, I hated that, but I get it.
Underperform.
Right.
And then Nomura cuts NVIDIA to reduce, both citing the effects of supply chain. And
yeah, they went with NVIDIA with the gaming. And, you know, I read that. I thought it was lame. But that was one of those, it's up. I mean, they should have just said it's up a lot. Let's go. That would have been fine. I wouldn't mind somebody says it's up a lot. Let's go. But NVIDIA is doing a lot of things that if you think about, oh, boy, I'm going to use some years. If you think about, say, 2021, NVIDIA's got a lot going. But I know that's a lifetime for a lot of people right now, 2021. Right?
Yes. It's more than a year away for the most part.
Right.
That is true, Jim.
Let's get the opening bell here. S&P 500 at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. At the big board, it's CNO Financial Group, a provider of health and life insurance, celebrating Investor Day at the NASDAQ. Strattec Security, maker of automotive access control products, celebrating its 25th listing anniversary. Speaking of Investor Days, J.P. Morgan, Wilford Frost is covering that after we got some of the headlines last night regarding no more financing of the Arctic, $200 billion in green financing, limited coal financing, no fresh money going into coal.
Look, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm telling you, this is happening. It's happening so fast. You think it stops at coal? You think that's the only carbon? Look at the Canadian. Did you see about the New York Times about the Canadian sands? They just scrapped. It was like the biggest project in 9 years.
Alberta, yeah. They
9 years.
Forward.
No, this is all. It's all.
Yeah,
over
the financing, listen, of it's a good question. It would seem the cost of capital for those who get stuff out of the ground is going to continue to go up, right?
Right. In the 7 years.
It can be more expensive, but eventually that's going to result in gasoline being more expensive.
Well, why?
Potentially even electricity being more expensive.
The 7 year curve for oil is the same prices now.
Does that ever change? Even if the cost
changes,
if the cost of getting out of the ground goes up and up because they can't get access to the capital.
Now it's a thin market out that far, but no. I mean, that is the tail of the tape.
It is. You're right.
Yeah, tail of the tape. I just want to go back to Microsoft. You said, you know, it's up 4. No, you don't buy Microsoft up 4.
Yeah. Your point on energy, though, Jim. We did see spreads on high yield energy widened yesterday. You got to go back to 16, May of 2016.
Well, you got to worry about some of these natural gas companies because natural gas is well through the cost of what it costs to produce, pretty much make. I mean, you lose money on every bit of natural gas, and they can't flare like they'd like to because flaring is bad for the environment.
Well, it is, although the administration is allowing it, but the companies are trying not to because, of course, impacts their overall carbon footprint and things of that nature.
The companies are not following the president because the companies want shareholders. And the companies are recognizing that maybe the shareholder base that they thought they could have is not interested in these stocks anymore. Now, we've only had a couple big divestitures. We had the California system. We had Georgetown. But they're going to roll. I mean, having been involved with the divestiture at Harvard, it took 8 years.
So who's going to finance these companies? I mean, what, Exxon's not going to be able to? Chevron, they're not going to be able to? Of course,
they have good
balance sheets. They're still going to be able to raise money.
But look at the balance sheets of some of these companies. If oil doesn't go up, they can continue to just run off, but they don't have a lot of growth. They're just not good.
They're already not spending that much on big projects.
Well, people thought that if they cooled that and they just started a Cimarex, Concho,
Right. But even the big guys are not spending as much on big projects.
Dallas Fed says CapEx in their space, energy space, is down 10 to 20.
Which is incredible because they still have good Federal Reserve numbers in that area. But you know, let's take a case, Cheniere, that just passed by, LNG. Okay, well, there's going to be force majeure on those contracts. The ones that go to Asia, the LNG.
The buyers are going to declare force majeure?
I think so.
The virus is going to be the thing? What? Really?
Who needs it? They don't need it. Their factories are running it.
I haven't seen the
Well, there's going to be
review.
Look, LNG is right now, it's still the greatest success story, but I just think it's a matter of time before these companies start. Now, look, Sri Suki is always, he's the godfather of this industry, has always said to me, don't worry, there's always going to be more customers, and that could be for a while. But look, the world is changing rather rapidly, and I don't think people realize how bad the slowdown is.
Well, cheap gas, Alene anyway, is good for the consumer. And Depot's comps were ahead.
Yes, good point.
You got a 10% div hike, Jim. Even Macy's here. Comps down half a percent. We were looking for 9/10.
I thought Macy's was fine. I mean, you look, they obviously have a Corona problem because it's that big store in New York. I think Macy's, they got that downgrade of their debt. And yet, Gannett has done a very good job trying to clean up the balance sheet. And if they do the air rights for the middle, you know, for the Herald Square, it's good. But nobody wants a classic department store. They don't mind getting a Home Depot because that has to do with construction, and that's interest rate play. They don't mind Home Depot, David.
Understood. Because
it's an interest rate play.
Right. That's what I heard you say. And then you're going to talk about gardening season coming up.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Next.
Remember, Christmas is gardening season.
By the way, Depot did say
Christmas.
Appliance comps at Depot up double digit.
How do you like that?
I mean, you take out Sears and JCP.
I'm surprised. I mean, my Terra Sons, I didn't think it was going to be this good. Remember, the previous quarter, they kind of blew. Can I just say that Craig Menear is an amazing CEO and what they do to train their people, boot camp. And this is amazing because they have a tremendous theft problem, opiate. And they're trying to solve it. But it is not deniable. They will bring it up to you. They will tell you, listen, the shrinkage, the stealing is a real problem. I didn't think it was. They brought it to my attention. So they've done quite well.
Expedia cutting 12% of its workforce.
Bloated.
3,000 jobs. The other disappointment overnight, you mentioned Palo Alto, Jim. Shake Shack. Revenue miss, comps down 3.6. QSR is turning into a real tough business.
And a lot of this is, they danced around the concept that they had this Grubhub relationship. They kept saying it's causing volatility. Well, volatility is code word for bad. Yes, the QSR is a very troubled area right now. McDonald's is hanging in there.
Wendy's launches breakfast next week.
I think it's going to be good. By the way, I had the chicken sandwich last weekend from the Popeyes. Acceptable.
How was it?
I had a couple bites.
So you're not raving about it?
No, I'm trying to. I'm Jimmy Chill. I'm trying to get thin.
All right,
but Wendy's is going higher. Wendy's, by the way, is doing excellent. Just want to give you a little, little flavor there. Wendy's is doing very well.
Right.
That's the one. And I think breakfast is going to be a success for them. But, the group, I think Shake Shack could go down even more. That was a disappointing conference call. I really was kind of shaken by this whole, this delivery thing. It's like Rich Allison from Domino's. He's triumphed over this. But then it's stock went up 70. It's a bunch of hedge funds were shorted. What are you thinking, David?
I'm thinking big pharma. You surprised Merck, Pfizer, Glaxo, all down 10, 11% this year.
A lot of people feel that Merck is too much of a one-trick pony. I disagree. They didn't like the reorg. Merck is too much Keytruda. Pfizer doesn't really have anything in the pipe to speak of.
We've had important announcements. You're right. That reorg was a significant one, of course.
They're not doing it. They do not have. They're not executing well. Versus Lilly, which has got fabulous migraine drug. I know this. This is a spokesperson for the American Migraine Foundation.
Lilly is the only one of the, certainly one of the few of the big ones that's up.
They're doing great diabetes work, great work with migraine. They're a good company. Really good.
Bristol Myers is flat for the year.
Bristol Myers is terrific. That acquisition with Celgene's great. I don't know why he's picking on Bristol Myers.
I'm not picking on it. I said it's flat for the year.
Do you see AbbVie, my other fave?
Yeah.
Take a look at that.
I haven't.
Allergan has an instant pill for migraine. I want to point people out that because if you have a migraine, you can pop that in 2 hours. You can see straight versus what we all suffer from. just trying to spread the word.
I know. You're a good spokesman for migraine.
Trying to spread the word because there's a lot of people hurt, and there's really drugs for them now, and they don't go. And the doctors don't know about them, which is very upsetting to me.
Boeing did get its first commercial order for the year.
Yeah.
ANA is going to buy some Dreamliners, and that's Boeing's in the green.
Do you see that with GE engines?
That's right.
Instead of Rolls Royce.
That's right. It's a bit of a setback for Rolls.
People should read Larry Culp's annual report yesterday. They sold, they laid off a lot of people, but it's. I know.
You know where I'm going on GE today, right? Everybody's been talking about employment headcount going back to 1951.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I had no. I mean, that's a lot of employees.
78,000 people last year. Go on.
Get rid of oil and gas and stuff. But
that's a stunning number.
Larry Culp means business. That's why I felt that our great friend Steve Tusa ought to reevaluate, because this man he means business. And by the way, he's still not done. He says that power's not that good. But onshore windmill doing very well. Not that you care, but it's got a lot of megawattage.
Why wouldn't I care about onshore windmill? Of course I do.
You do?
Sure.
Okay. Turbine business getting a little better, David.
Yes.
Healthcare very strong, but aerospace is amazing.
Well, but the question is power.
He says he's not done power.
Has it
reached
the bottom?
He seems like the nicest guy in the world. I happen to think he's the nicest guy in the world. I think he's got a whole new management team, got new board members. I don't know. I mean, if you don't deliver, I think that he's a little Belichick-like, what I'm saying, but he's not. He's not derisive. He's not mean. He's not wearing a hoodie. But he has a Belichick attitude. I think he wants to win. What's the matter?
No, he does. He wants to win.
He wants to win.
Yep.
What are you focused on that you're obviously mimicking me and not paying any attention to what I say?
I am paying attention.
And hurting my feelings.
I'm trying to put together.
Not unlike the surprise party. We read those snippets that made me sound totally like I was bat. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'll save you here, Jim.
I'm sorry.
Let's do.
I didn't mean that. I'm really sorry.
After Palo Alto last night, are there any implications for Salesforce tonight? CRM.
Stock is up. I don't know why it's running. Why is it running? Jeez. I mean, that's just crazy. All these stocks are running so much.
Yeah.
I wish that they weren't. I think that Mark can do a good. It's Keith. It's Keith Block, the co-CEO. But, running ahead of this, these have all been going down and down and down. But Mark has to deliver a quarter that's the single best quarter they can ever do. And I don't know how you do in this environment. Maybe you can do it, but that's a rough one.
Yeah, we'll get Salesforce and Virgin Galactic tonight.
Oh, my. Virgin Galactic won't stop.
Never goes down.
Won't stop.
There's no coronavirus on Mars.
Space.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a health play. I hadn't even thought of that.
It's a health play. I'm going to space. I won't need a mask there.
No, you won't.
I'll just
David.
Need an entire suit.
Yeah, you'll be
so
in
I'll
the,
be fine anyway.
You wounded. Take that 3M thing and throw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no shaking hands when you're alone on a plane.
So Dow's up 100. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Morning, Bob.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Dow up nicely. Home Depot's helping. Good earnings. But we still have those profit warnings from MasterCard, United Airlines. Still weighing on the markets. But you see the bounce back here. Here's emerging markets. Tough month for them bouncing. Semis modestly on the upside. This is a little ominous here, though. Materials and industrials still very obviously exposed to coronavirus. Nothing going on here. No real signs of a bounce. You want to keep an eye on that. And banks, well, we have 10-year yields at four-year lows right now here also. So several important sectors here really not participating in this rally at all. And obviously you want to keep an eye on that. In terms of the coronavirus impact, we still don't know, but there's a lot of people taking stabs out of it. Oxford Economics out with a big, widely cited study this morning. Global economy could have a more than $1 trillion loss. Now, we're talking about $90 trillion for the global economy, but even that is actually quite important overall. Global growth could go to 2.3%. That would be the lowest in several years. China growth could go to 3.8. We were talking 5 to 6% just 2 months ago. So these are all estimates. We don't know where they're going, but there are companies out there trying to take a stab at the overall losses. I think it's important to note that this is still a very much a garden variety, even mini correction. The global stocks are not down that much. If you just take a look at what's going on, Hong Kong is the only really major group that's actually in any kind of correction, down more than 10%. We're down 11% for Hong Kong. Shanghai's down 8%. Japan's down 6%. This is from 52-week highs we're talking about. Europe 5 and the U.S. Less than 5% from 52-week highs. So bear in in mind here, we're not having any kind of global catastrophe so far. Very typical to see 5 to 10% corrections over the course of a year. So just keep it in perspective here. There are some big caps tech stocks in the United States that have been sort of in a correction mode here. Disney, Intel, Microsoft, Facebook, they're all down 10% or more from their 52-week highs, which in almost all cases, Disney was just a while ago, a month or two ago, but all of these are fairly recently off. So it's not that there isn't any damage at all. There definitely is. But remember the big run-ups that some of these stocks have had going into this whole mess here. S&P 500, in terms of the estimates, they've been coming down rather aggressively in the last few weeks. Today, it's at 3%. This is the estimated growth for the S&P for the first quarter, which is the one we care about. January 31st, it was 5.4%. This is a much more aggressive downturn than it normally happens, and obviously this is due to coronavirus. Now, financial journalists like us, we tend to make fun of the analysts because they tend to be a little slow taking their numbers down. The market reacts and then they take their numbers down. But in this case, the analysts have been pretty aggressive since the end of January, particularly in certain sectors. So if you look here, automobiles down 30% since the end of January. These are how much the earnings have come down since the end of January. Capital goods down 13%. Energy down 12%, materials down 12%. So for once, David, you could certainly say at least there are people that are out there that have been aggressively taking down the numbers even before the market actually did so. Guys, back to you.
All right, Bob, thank you. Bob Pisani covering all things for us market related. Let's get specific here to HP and Xerox yet again. Of course, that battle continuing. Yesterday, we got numbers after the bell from HP. Inc. And they were good. They were strong numbers in terms of at least where the analysts were, in terms of the company beating those estimates. But more importantly, it was the plan that HP unveiled, what it's calling its strategic and financial value creation plan over the next few years, that certainly has the attention of shareholders and, of course, relates to what may be coming talks with Xerox. More on that in a moment. As for the plan itself, the headlines there, well, a return of capital, as much as $15 billion in total share repurchase in terms of the authorization, targeting $16 billion in capital return planned over the next 3 years. That would be about 50% of the company's market value, although it's a bit more today, given that 4% rise. And $8 billion of that share repurchase is scheduled to take place on sort of what we call an accelerated basis almost in the 12 months that follow the annual meeting, although interestingly, not before that. Remember, that meeting will take place most likely in May. It's going to be an important meeting. All the directors are up. It's the battle with Xerox, which is nominated for all the seats that are up, which is everything, the entire board. It's not a staggered board, and would allow, of course, the company to potentially take over and institute its tender because the pill would get pulled, so forth and so on. By the way, earnings guidance for 2022, $3.25 to $3.65 a share. That is also above estimates. So the stock may be getting a bump because of beating, right, raising a bit, and others. Although there's also a lot of uncertainty involving what we've been discussing here, of course, the coronavirus and the like. When it comes to Xerox, though, and there are a lot of questions on the call, there was one line in the release in terms of all the different reasons why they don't feel Xerox, at least at this point, is viable in terms of where its offer is. Remember, about $18.40 in cash and then stock getting up to 24. They say, though, that HP is going to reach out to Xerox to explore if there is a combination that creates value for HP shareholders and is additive to this strategic and financial plan. A lot of questions, of course, from CEO Enrique Lori regarding that. Tony Sakanagi asking one of them in terms of, well, does that mean you'll never envision a scenario under which Xerox would buy you, or could you? And here's the answer from Lori. I don't think that who buys what is a real conversation. The real conversation is to make sure that either two companies get together. If, in fact, they do, we address the issues that we outlined during the call. First, we need to make sure the valuation of the two companies is fair based on the value that both companies are going to be bringing to the joint entity. We need to make sure the resulting capital structure makes sense for the businesses where we will be operating. And they go on to point out, by the way, that they don't have that much overlap. They also say we need to make sure there's a fair, clear assessment of what the synergies are. This is, I think, the important conversations for our shareholders. And if we clarify that, then who and how are things that will be discussed after. that. They haven't started those discussions yet, as far as I'm aware, and talking to people on both sides. But you would expect they perhaps will begin fairly soon. It's interesting, Jim. They put themselves in this position. Of course, Xerox is up, too, on part because the expectation, if these do take place, you end up with a deal in which HP potentially would actually acquire Xerox. Although, right now, the only deal in play is the Xerox acquisition of HP. That's the deal that shareholders, as of now, will be voting on should there be no resolution in terms of conversations between the two getting anywhere in terms of a deal, who would run the combined company, and so on and so forth.
I am shocked that HPQ is not up more. It was a remarkable quarter. No one seems to care. Buying back half of the company, including $8 billion in the next year, how can that not be noteworthy? They beat every single analyst expectation. When I speak with the company, I thought for sure the stock could be up a couple of bucks. I mean, maybe at least a buck and a half. Didn't seem to mean anything.
Wow. Questioning whether they pulled earnings forward, why they're not starting the buyback sooner.
Wow.
Revenue growth, still a question.
Gotcha.
Coronavirus.
Gotcha.
All right. We'll stay on top of it, of course, as you know. Let's head to the bond pits now, though. Check in with Rick Santelli, who joins us from the CME Group in Chicago. Rick.
Good morning, David. Well, the yield curve is melting from the short end again. Look at 1 week of twos as we start to dip below yesterday's lows. The same is true for tens. Even though the amounts are only about a half a basis point, down around 122 for twos versus 123 and 135 versus 136 for tens. Let's look at a two-year. Last time it closed at these levels, April of 2017. Now, let's even go further back. Let's go back to June of 2016 for tens, because tens at this area are toying with the lowest yield close ever, around 135 and change in July of 2016, and zoom back 4 years, July of 2012, same level, which really makes technicians nervous. Technicians don't like triple bottoms. So the fact that we're hovering in the same zone as the double bottoms created in 2012 and 2016 is making traders think we're going to go through this. And if it isn't now, we will come back and go through it, which is really making the long end quite sluggish as well. And if we look at the relationship where the spread between the yields of 10-year notes and the yields of 2-year notes, that difference right now is 12 basis points in the zip code of the flattest closes going back to October of 2019. Finally, another spread that's of major importance, and that is the spread between 10-year notes in the U.S. and 10-year bonds in Europe. That difference is 186 basis points. As we continue to see that U.S. yields, the safe haven trade is a much bigger magnet than in the safe havens of the sovereigns of Europe in the form of bonds. That spread now under 190 is the closest our yields have been since around September of 2017. Carl, David, Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you. Along with your discussion about the curve, we did open up, had a gain on the Dow as high as 188 points, then briefly went negative about 18 minutes into the session, currently up 20. Back after a short break. You're going to get to know this name, Moderna, which has shipped a vaccine to the government for study, hoping for a clinical trial by the end of April, which would be record-setting speed. Stock's up 13%. Dow's up 79. We're back after a short break. Jim, what's on Matt tonight?
Well, first, I want to apologize again for my little outrageous David. Sorry. We've got Wex. We've got Mark Benioff. Hold on, look at this. We also have Ajabanga and his successor, Michael Miebach. What a show. I cannot wait. And I want to be a little more optimistic. People understand. We're going to make it.
Jim, we'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.